It's 16 months until the 2020 elections, and as the Democratic field fills with challengers to President Donald Trump, another name stepped into the ring. Mark Charles, a Navajo, is running as an independent for President of the United States. Mark joins me now from Washington, D.C. Welcome, Mark.
Okay, thank you very much. It's good to be on the show with you today.
The website Last Real Indians quoted you in reference to Bernie Sanders saying, quote, "Even though he didn't win, he still deeply impacted and even changed the national dialogue," unquote. Is that how you view your candidacy as an independent?
One of the things that I felt he did well is he got our nation to talk about something it didn't want to talk about, which was systemic economic inequality. I think one of the drawbacks of his campaign was that he essentially ran a protest campaign. I don't think he thought he had a chance of winning. Most everyone who was a Democrat knew 2016 was pretty much Hillary Clinton's year. I'm running as an independent because I truly believe that because of the systemic issues that I'm trying to bring up, of the white supremacy and the racism, the sexism in the foundations of our country, I'm convinced that neither the Democrats nor the Republicans really want to address the problems at that level. So, yes, I was inspired by Bernie Sanders' campaign in 2016. I'm trying to not make some of the same mistakes I think he made. And I'm definitely not running a protest campaign. I am in this to win the campaign, and I very much want to be president of the United States in 2021.
Do you hope to change the national dialogue as well as part of your campaign?
Absolutely. If you listen to my announcement, I frame my campaign as an 18-month dialogue. There is a lot of history our country doesn't know. There's a lot of things regarding Native Americans and African Americans. There's a lot of the history around even our greatest president, Abraham Lincoln, that people are just not aware of. And many of the problems we're facing today that we see manifest explicitly in the Trump administration are actually problems or challenges that are rooted in our foundations. And the Democrats actually exhibit these same challenges implicitly. And so I am working very hard to, as I'm doing my campaign, to educate the nation on its history and help people understand how the challenges we're facing today are actually rooted in some things that were written into our foundations.
You posted on your social media a response to President Trump's racist tweets toward a group of Democratic congresswomen. You said, and I'm paraphrasing here, "Trump is offended because they are women of color who do not accept American exceptionalism." Tell me a bit more about how that idea of American exceptionalism fits into your campaign.
Yeah, so American exceptionalism is this belief that the United States of America is kind of a chosen group of people. They've been given promised lands. And this notion of exceptionalism is what makes the United States, in this mythology, that makes the United States unique and makes us exceptional. We live by a different set of rules. And then when you look at the history of manifest destiny and of the stealing of lands from Native peoples and of the ethnic cleansing and the slavery, this notion of exceptionalism is a coping mechanism for how the United States views its genocidal history. In other words, most Americans don't go to sleep at night worried about the fact that they're sitting on stolen land and genocide was committed so they could have that land. They don't go to bed thinking about those things because of this mythology of we have promised lands.
This also fits into the conversation surrounding reparations that's become a more mainstream topic in the Democratic primaries. What do you believe to be the best way to lift those who have been oppressed over the course of U.S. history?
Well, I absolutely believe this dialogue that's happening right now within the African-American community about reparations for slavery is a necessary conversation, and I believe reparations need to be paid. But we also need to abolish slavery. We need to make it illegal everywhere, including under our criminal justice system. As a candidate for president, I am in support of the dialogue around reparations, but I am also saying we have to actually go down to the foundations, and we actually have to, for once and for all, in a final statement, abolish slavery so it is illegal throughout the entire country.
Should reparations be extended beyond African Americans, say to Native Americans and perhaps other groups?
Well, this is the question that terrifies the U.S. government. One of the challenges the U.S. government faces today is while there might be maybe some way to calculate a number to pay reparations for slavery, how do you begin to calculate that number for the genocide of entire Native nations, the ethnic cleansing, and the genocide of an entire continent? So I'm pretty sure there's a blueprint, some kind of form out there of a generic apology to Native peoples that is very self-serving, very self-protecting, and the 111th Congress used it in 2009, and the state of California used it in 2019. And it's a way to give lip service to this incredibly genocidal and violent history and past, but it doesn't actually give the way for there to be justice moving forward.
At this time, do you have a proposal or a policy as far as serving justice for Native Americans and not, as you say, something that's lip service?
Yes, so I am calling for a national dialogue on race, gender, and class, a conversation that I would put on par with the Truth and Reconciliation Commissions that happened in South Africa and Rwanda and in Canada. I would call ours Truth and Conciliation because reconciliation implies there was a previous harmony, which is not accurate. And so my proposal is that we have to have this national-level dialogue with the legal force of a commission. You know, when there's a great quote used by George Erasmus, who's from the Dene Nation up in Canada. And he says, where common memory is lacking, where people do not share in the same past, there can be no real community. I'm convinced that's what this nation needs. We don't have a common memory right now. We have a white majority that remembers a mythological history of discovery, expansion, opportunity, and exceptionalism. And we have our communities of color that have the lived history of stolen lands, broken treaties, slavery, Jim Crow laws, segregation, Indian boarding schools, massacres, ethnic cleansing, internment camps, mass incarceration, and families separated at our borders. And there's no common memory, which is at the root of why politically and even religiously we're not even able to talk to each other in this country at the moment.
You did some campaign stops in New Mexico and in Navajo Nation recently. What did people say about the prospects of the country's first Native American president?
The entire time, whether I was on the Navajo Reservation, whether I was in Gallup, New Mexico, whether I was in Albuquerque, even when I was flying home through Kansas City, I was being approached daily in public by people who I had never met before or had not seen in a long time, who had heard about my campaign and just wanting to meet me, wanting to shake my hand, and thanking me for the conversation that I was trying to bring to the broader community, to the broader nation. That is the base that I want to reach out to first, because having the support, having the encouragement, even having the blessing of the Native nations throughout Turtle Island will go further than the millions of dollars the other candidates have amassed. I'm convinced of that.
Mark Charles is an independent candidate for the 2020 presidential elections. Mark, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on your show. I look forward to where this conversation is going to go.